I've been waiting all week for this. Those that you get the messages for the last several days since Wednesday, you know, I've put Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And here it is. Matthew 28. We could go to Mark, we could go to Luke, we could go to John and read the four different accounts of the same event. I'm trying to make sure my words are placed properly. And we would get every detail that the Scripture has to give us. But we're going to park in Matthew 28 and read Matthew's presentation of that Sunday morning. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. I've got a half a dozen sermon titles I could put here. You know, the one of them was "He is not here." Of course, verse 6, "He is not here," and another, "Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell." Come and see, and go and tell. Well, there's a sermon right there. When we think of the celebration of Easter, we think of, well, oftentimes our mind goes back to childhood or with our kids and grandkids and, you know, what took place, you know, before church. It took place at our house before church. And the kids get up expecting to find something. And so we'd put it somewhere, they'd have to look for it. And that's the way it was when I was growing up. Mom and daddy hide it, and I'd go find it. And then we'd go to church. And then our kids had to find it, and then we go to church, pumped up with sugar and everything else, turn them over to the Sunday school teachers, let them have it. Easter treasures, you know, what you find when you're looking. Or another one, what do you find on Easter? I remember the days we used to have Easter egg hunts at our church in Virginia, and we didn't have that many children, so, you know, we'd get, I don't know how many dozens of eggs, of plastic eggs, and fill them up with stuff and put some special eggs out there, and we'd actually hide them out in the churchyard. We'd hide them instead of this going into an area where the ground is covered with eggs and all you do is collect. Our kids had to find them. And of course, us old folks, we'd find one or two 6 weeks later cutting grass or, you know, somewhere else where that was never found. We always thought we had them all until later on in the summer. But we actually searched for them. And then when we had our teenagers, we'd bring them all in and they'd open them up and we'd see what kind of treasures they had inside the eggs. And they'd say, you want to go hunt again? Yeah, the kids, yeah, let's go hunt again. So we tell the teenagers, you go hide them. And then they go hide them and the little kids go out and hunt them again. So what do y'all do? We watch. There may be one over there. Over there. And, you know, we'd go hunting. We'd go searching. We'd find things. So we tend to do on these. Of course, after all that was done, we'd have hot dogs and drinks and all. I mean, we're not going to have any kind of assembly without food. So hot dogs and drinks when that was all done and chips. There's all kinds of recreation and fun things that are associated with Easter, and there's nothing wrong with doing those things as long as we don't lose focus and don't lose sight of reality. I'm going to say this or bust. I got nauseated yesterday when I saw the president had designated today as National Transgender Visibility Day. I want to vomit. You say, well, you know, we have to. No, we don't have to. That's the whole problem. We don't have to. Today is Resurrection Sunday. If you want to call it Easter Sunday, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. We know what Easter Sunday is. It's the day we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Oh, did you see that the National Guard in their national egg decorating contest, did you see about that? They couldn't have anything religious or political on those eggs that they decorated. But heaven forbid somebody might get offended. I'm sick of people tearing down the fundamentals that we grew up with. And it's time we start, you know, holding our feet down, say, we ain't moving. I'd have put one in there with the biggest cross in the world on it and said, this is a pretty, and see what they say. But that's me. Yeah, and you would have gotten kicked out. I'd have got kicked out with a smile on my face. I told you I had to let that out. You know, it's sort of like an amen. If you don't let it out, it'll hurt your stomach. So I had to let that out. I had to get it off my chest because it made me so righteously indignant. That's another word for mad. Now, the Bible says you can get mad. Be ye angry and sin not. So I didn't commit any sin that I knew of. Well, maybe in my mind, but no. I'm going to get serious. I get so frustrated with the direction our country has gone. I get so burdened. It angers me, but it makes me want to weep. I want to cry as much as anything. Easter was always the day when everybody'd show up at church. You know, they wouldn't come any other Sunday except Christmas, but they'd come on Easter, and you could guarantee you'd have a full house, and the women would have their bonnets on. Remember that? And the little boys. I mean, Mom and Dad made sure I had an Easter suit when I was a kid. Maybe wore only once. Grew out of it by the next week. But you got your kids. Remember when they was real small? You got them the pastel shorts and shirts. And the little girl, it was just wonderful. I don't like that being taken away. That's not the sermon. Get back to the sermon. He is not here. What do you find on Easter? I am not going to give you anything you haven't heard before. I've probably preached this exact same thing right here, and I might have done it last Easter. I can't remember. I'll tell you, I should have asked my wife. This is hilarious. Sitting this morning, I was eating my sugar rolls, and she was getting this shirt ready. And I said, okay, that's the shirt I'm wearing? She said, yes, that's the shirt you're wearing. See, that's how things are done at my house. That's the shirt you're wearing? It's yes, ma'am. She picked out the tie, and it matches, and it looks appropriate. But she said, last year you wore such and such a color. And the year before that, you wore such and such a color. And the year before that. I said, how do you remember that? I don't remember what I wore yesterday. She said, I looked it up. So if I give you a sermon that you've already heard before, you know where to say amen at. All right. What do you find on Easter? What did these ladies come for? Well, due to the the lateness of the hour, and by the way, you heard me say last week, I don't hold to a Friday crucifixion. I haven't for years. You say, well, that's Good Friday. I don't hold to it. It can't be 3 days and three nights and be on Friday. There's no way you cannot. I've heard Baptist preachers say, well, yes, it can, because the partial day was a whole day, dot, dot, dot. I've heard all the reasoning. I do not hold. I'm a Wednesday or Thursday guy, preferably Wednesday. But that's okay. Why would you say Wednesday? Because I read a historian's note that said Passover that year was on Thursday. And they had to get it done before Passover. Remember, they wanted them. But anyway, that near that. Because of the holy day, the high day that was coming, they had to wait. They could not anoint the body in the way they desired and honor it and put the spices and everything. And so Thursday passed. We say, why didn't they do it on Friday? Because they're preparing for the next Sabbath. Plus, it's the first day of unleavened bread. So there's all kind of things going on in the Jewish occasion, Jewish observation. And so finally, after the Passover, after the preparation day for Passover, preparation day for the weekly Sabbath, after the weekly Sabbath was done, it's the first day of the week. They said, we've not been able to do this. We're going first thing in the morning. We're going to place the rest of the spices so that we can honor the burial of our Messiah. We can give Him the honor that He so justly deserves that due to time we could not. So they get up first thing in the morning at the rising of the sun. The day already began the evening before. You do understand Jewish time, evening and morning. So the day already began at sundown the previous. But, you know, we tend to go to bed at night when it gets dark and get up when the sun comes up. They were doing that. So at the rising of the sun, they come to the tomb with their arms full of spice and oil and probably flowers and scented things, and they're going and they say, well, we got a problem because this tomb has a big stone like a grinding wheel rolled across to keep everybody out. It's been sealed by a Roman guard. Who's going to roll the stone away? Maybe we can bribe the guards. That's a supposition. There's nothing in the Scripture. But one of the things they noticed is, who's going to roll the stone away? Well, when they got there, there'd been an earthquake. And the stone was rolled back. And the guards were all out on the ground, passed out in a coma. The Bible says, as dead men. So they were out. They were not responsive. And when you read all four accounts, you find out of how the angels appeared on the outside, on the inside, and everything else. But they didn't find what they were expecting to find. And just like the little note that Peter Marshall quoted that's in your bulletin today, that stone wasn't rolled back for the benefit of Jesus getting out the tomb. He'd already gotten out at sundown the night before. He'd already removed Himself. He said, but the stone wasn't rolled back. He didn't need the stone to be rolled back. He's God. And if you find out His post-resurrection appearances, He just showed up. He came through a closed door into a locked room. He didn't need the benefit of an open access. So that stone wasn't rolled back to let Him out. It was rolled back so we could see in. So that the ladies could see in. So that Peter and John could see in, as we learned from Sunday school this morning. John outran Peter. Peter was an old big mouth fat guy like me, and he couldn't run, but he sure could talk up a storm. John was the younger guy, and he outran him, and they got to the tomb, and there was no body in there because they found an empty tomb. What'd they find? An empty tomb. There was no body. Now, we can say this however you want it. You can say it, and just imagine you're writing it. There is no body in there. Or there's no body in there. You can say it any way you want to. There was no body in the tomb because it was empty. It was Joseph of Arimathea. It's a brand new one. He's hewn it out for his for the benefit of his family. And he's willing to donate it to the Messiah, donate it to the Lord, donate it to Jesus, the Savior. And so he did. And we always make jokes about Joseph. He said, well, I gave it because I know he's only going to use it for 3 days. I don't know how much of Joseph understood of that. And he probably didn't because the disciples didn't understand it. So, but he donated that personal tomb, which would have cost in that day a significant amount of money, cost a lot to prepare it and to have a place for it. It was his family's. He and nobody else had ever been buried there. And if you go to Jerusalem and you go to the tomb that is designated as the holy tomb, according to what I've learned from people who do the scientific kind of stuff, they have examined the residue, the dust, and everything that's been in that cave that they found. And under scientific experiments, analyzing everything that's in there, they said, there was never a body that was in here that decomposed. There was never a body in here that was buried and stayed here. And so if that's the actual tomb, fine. If it's not, I know there was one, because the Bible says so. Listen, that's all I need is for the Bible to say so. When the Bible says so, I know it to be true. But they found an empty tomb. And that empty tomb meant something. It meant a risen Savior. That's what it meant. They didn't understand it. They came to anoint Him. The disciples didn't understand it because they questioned it. And you come back tonight, I think I'm going to be speaking on something similar tonight. But, oh, by the way, we're having church tonight, 6 o'clock. Well, a lot of churches don't have a church on Easter Sunday. Well, we're one. We ain't a lot, so we're having church tonight. So doors will be open, and if you're not engorged on chocolate and Reese's peanut butter cups and jelly beans and whatever you like, ham, turkey, whatever you eat for Easter lunch, I'm just suggesting. You come back tonight, we'll get another segment for tonight. But they didn't understand that the Savior would rise again, even after He told them repeatedly. A bunch of Baptists in Jesus' day, you had to tell them over and over and over and over again. They never got it the first time. Had to tell them again. I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel, or the second or third. Thick head, thick heart. But God got a hold of us finally. But a risen Savior. Now, you look at the religions of the world. Don't look at them with a positive note, but look at them on an analytical note. Ain't a one of them got a risen Savior. None of them have a resurrected founder. Only Christianity has a resurrected, living Savior. Nobody else got that. You know, you got umpteen million Muslims trying to die and go to paradise, and however many virgins they think they're going to find. Boy, are they going to be surprised. Sadly, for all of eternity, they are going to be punished and suffer in horrible agony. You say they deserve it. No more than you and me. We deserve it. But sadly, they have been deceived. Poor old Muhammad, that whoremongering, whatever, that's the best I can say about him. He was a whoremongering savage. They'll probably come and trash our church. Let them come. But Muhammad's dust in a tomb somewhere. Allah never existed, so Buddha never existed. Confucius and all the rest of them that lead all these kind of different things, their founders dead and dust in a tomb somewhere, maybe a couple of bones somewhere. Remember one day the Roman Catholic Church decided to have a thing about popes, and they brought up two skeletons out of the grave because they were just wondering, you know, which one was supposed to be the real pope. They're wrong on so many places. I'm sorry. They are wrong in just so many areas. That was just... Read some of their history. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You'll get an understanding of it. But we have... They found a risen Savior. But I move on. Ooh. They found a personal salvation. that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Personal Savior and personal salvation, because Jesus lives, I'm going to live. That he is crucified according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You read 1 Corinthians 15, first four verses. Paul said that that's where you stand. So we find an empty tomb, a risen Savior, a personal salvation, a living faith. A living faith, because he's alive. I have a faith that is alive. I don't serve a dead anything. I got a living Savior. I have a living faith. The Holy Spirit resides inside of me because he's alive. I'm alive. Because of that, I have a reason for life. Sad, so many people run out of reasons for living. And some people go to the final extreme of taking their own life. And I've known Christians. I know an evangelist that we had in our church in Virginia took his own life. I know another evangelist because of a hunting accident with his grandson, a fatal hunting accident with his grandson, took his own life. So you can get so depressed, discouraged, so down that you despair of life. But when you go to the tomb, you find a living faith. Because you've got a risen Savior. You've got a reason for life. And not only that, you do understand I'm picking up speed here. We have a saving message. What did the angel say? He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Now, at this point, didn't say go tell the rest of Jerusalem. Who do you need to tell first? He'd tell his disciples, because they're hidden in an upper room somewhere. They're behind a locked door, scared because of the persecution of the Romans and the Sanhedrin and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are in hiding. Go tell his disciples that he's alive. Well, we've got a saving message. It hasn't changed. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go and tell. If you've seen a risen Savior, tell somebody else about him. I saw him September 3rd, 1980. My pastor's study in Appomattox at Bible Baptist Church, bowed my head, trusted the risen Savior as my personal Savior because he shed his blood, because he was buried, because he rose again the third day, because he lives forevermore. I called upon his name. He forgave me of my sins, past, present, future, and he reserved me a home in heaven. I was as saved September 3rd, 1980 as I am today, and I am saved for eternity. You say, but what if you commit a sin? It ain't what if. It's I do. But the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm tired of Baptist people coming up and telling me, well, you can't believe in eternal security. You can't believe. I do, because my Jesus lives. And because He said it, I give unto them temporary life. And they'll probably perish one day. It says that in John 10, right? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I just believe what Jesus said over what John Baptist over here says, and Jane Baptist over here says, and what this church says, and what that church says. There are all kinds of people will tell you, you can't be sure that you're saved. I like what Brother Dave said when he met with some of his friends of a different belief. And he said, well, the real difference between us and you, and they believe in Jesus and everything. He said, when you get to heaven, you'll be surprised. When I get there, I'm sure of it. I won't be surprised. I'm not going to be surprised when I get to heaven. I'm surprised that he saved me. I'm surprised that he went to the cross to redeem me. I'm surprised at that. I'm surprised he loves me. That's the shock. But the good news is I'm going to heaven because of an empty tomb. And so I have a saving message. And it's a message no other religion has. Why does Islam have to go to every country and kill the people that are there? Because they have no hope. They got nothing to offer. You either recant your whatever you believe in and become Muslim, or we're going to kill you. Well, what an option. What a choice. Well, why are you doing that? Well, that's the way our founder did it. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Instead of you having to die, He died for you. Hey, I like yours a whole lot better than that one. We've got the same message, a saving message. We got a blessed hope. Because the tomb is empty. This is what they found. An empty tomb, a risen Savior, a personal salvation, a living faith, a saving message, a blessed hope. He's coming back. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going. I really think it's going to happen in my lifetime. I really do. If it doesn't, I'll just go to heaven when I die and say, Lord, I was waiting on you. I wish you to come sooner. If you get the daily message, I got a message back from Brother Glenn Matthews Friday. He'd been in the hospital for 2 weeks. Brother Glenn was here a couple years ago when COVID was going on. We had to shorten the message because somebody contracted COVID and we were still in panic mode and everything else. But I got a message Friday and he said he'd been in the hospital after having fallen several times. I know his age is beginning to catch up with him, but I've never heard a better Bible expositor than Evangelist Glenn Matthews. He told me one day, I don't know if it was sitting in this church or I had him when we were in Virginia, and I met him at another church in Virginia when he was there preaching, and I don't know for sure. I think it was right here. He said, when Jesus comes, he said, I'm going to ask him, what took you so long? We have a blessed hope. Not only that, we have an eternal home. An eternal home. Now, I haven't turned to a whole lot of scriptures. I mean, I knew time was sliding away from me. And Joy's not here to back me up. Joy usually says, go. But she's not here to reinforce. She'll be here soon, hopefully. Thank you. That's a majority. I heard it. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I have eternal home. I have an eternal home. I had one other one I wanted to read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's 1 Peter 1:3. Unto a lively hope, that means living, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Because of what they found, we have an eternal home. I tell you, this is better than hunting a million eggs at any Easter egg hunt. And cracking them things open and finding a piece of gum or a couple jelly beans or that special prize egg that might have had a buck in it or a $5 bill. You say, well, what kind of eggs did you hunt? What kind of chickens you got? The kids were always happy when they cracked open the eggs and there was something in it. You know, just what it did, it made them happy and it brought a smile to the adults' faces. There's nothing wrong with that. But all the treasures that we have when we go to the tomb. We're 10,000 miles away. But we're in the pages of the eternal Word of God. And we're right there. On Sunday morning, they found an empty tomb. A risen Savior. A personal salvation. A living faith. A saving message. A blessed hope. An eternal home. Boy, that's as good an Easter treasures as you can find anywhere. And that's what they found. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see! go tell. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the treasures we find on Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. We find these every time we open up the pages of the Bible. We find this every Sunday when we come to worship, whether it's Sunday morning or Sunday night, whether it's a Wednesday night, whether it's a revival or a Bible conference or a missions conference. We find it every time we come to the house of God. We find it every time we open up the Word of God. We find it every time we bow before the throne of grace. We find the treasures of Easter, an empty tomb and a risen Savior and so many other things. Thank you for that, and I pray that everybody in here can rejoice in that. Pray that everybody here is saved and can rejoice in the blessings of what they find at that tomb. And bless us here. Miss Ann, if you could go to the piano, please, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. She's going to play just a little melody. If you're not saved, you need to come. Jesus died, buried and rose again the third day so you'd have eternal life. unless you can testify amen to everything that I've already said, you need to come. You say, well, you are making fun of people. I don't make fun of people, but I'll not tolerate false doctrine. And I want to tell you the truth. And I've done my best to do that today. If you're not saved, you need to come. If you are saved, what a joy. What a blessing we have in our Easter treasures. What a blessing we find when we come to that tomb. Thank you, Miss Ann. Thank you, Miss Ann. I appreciate that. All right, look this way, please. We will have